The message tonight is taken from Simeon's song in Luke chapter 2, the Nunc Dimittis, I think, in Latin. And I would like us to consider verse 29 and 30 in that song. Lord, now you are letting your servants depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. I know it's better in the Authorized Version. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And as we come to the end of another year, I find no better verses for us to look at. And this is what strikes me about this very well-known passage. Here we have Lord Jesus being brought to the temple in order to be dedicated according to the law of Moses, and Mary and Joseph bring him. And at exactly that moment, this is God's providence for you. God works at both ends. This elderly gentleman called Simeon comes into the temple, and Simeon has been waiting years for the Messiah to come, and he's been given an assurance that he will see the Lord Christ before he dies, and he's led of the Spirit into the temple at exactly the point in time that Mary and Joseph bring Jesus to be dedicated. And then, when Simeon holds him in his arms and makes this statement, which we call the Song of Simeon, we have another elderly person, a lady this time, a prophetess called Anna, who at exactly the right time comes in, and she also speaks and gives thanks to the Lord. And this is what I see here. We are getting nearer and nearer to eternity, and God is the one who orders our lives down to the last detail. In this little world of time, everything is coming together at his command, and eternal destinies are affected by what we do with this Saviour in time. And Simeon here is so important to us. In other words, here is a man who is ready to go. He's not afraid of death. He is saying, Lord, let me go. It's all right. Now, I find the Bible here so realistic. It doesn't shut itself to the big facts of life. It brings them before us, and it gives us an assurance in the light of these things. Now, let me just give you another example. This is one of my favorites. The Apostle Paul, coming to the end of his life, and he's not in the temple, but in prison. Some may say it was fine for Simeon to say that. He was holding the baby Jesus in his arms, and he was in the temple of the Lord. If I was there, I would have said the same thing. But think of Paul the aged. He is about to be executed. He's not sure when. Nero was emperor. Nero was capricious. He always changed his mind. And that uncertainty would unsettle even the best of people. But Paul isn't put out. He is in 2 Timothy, writing a letter to Timothy, who's worried about the future of the church. But Paul is at peace, and he's about to die. And how does he put it? Listen to him in 2 Timothy 1. He says, it's all right. Verse 12, I suffer these things, nevertheless, I am not ashamed. And like Simeon, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. I don't know how Simeon died. We know that the Apostle Paul was beheaded. Some of the early Christians were martyred. They had to face the lions in the arena. They certainly didn't have an easy death. But in the light of the last enemy, they had a sure and a certain hope. And as our death becomes nearer, as we are getting older, then this is at the end of another year. My burden tonight is that we would have the same hope, that we will be able to say, Lord, it's all right. You can take me in your time. It's all right. I'm not ashamed. I know in whom I have believed. Now, I'm not saying these things are easy. It's so possible to be flippant. We shouldn't be. Death isn't called the last enemy for nothing. And yet, there is a hope in the gospel. And that hope is the most blessed of all things in this life. Do you know the Welsh hymn? Dyma feibl annwyl Iesu. We used to teach it to children. I learnt it as a child as well. Dyma feibl annwyl Iesu. Dyma rodd deheulaw Duw. Dengis hwn y ffordd i farw. Dengis hwn y ffordd i fyw. This is the Bible of our dear Saviour. This is the gift of God's right hand. This teaches us how to die. Note that comes first. This teaches us how to live. When we've faced death, and when we've had a hope in the face of death and eternity, then we can live in the world of time. So I hope you don't mind me asking you tonight, as we're coming to the closing dates of 2013, are you ready to die? Are you ready to meet your Maker? I remember seeing on the mantelpiece of somebody here, I won't mention who, an invitation to Buckingham Palace to one of the Queen's garden parties. Now, if you were invited to the palace, would you just go as you were? I don't think so. You would probably have a haircut and buy a new suit, and you would want to be prepared. You would want to be ready to meet your sovereign. How much more ought we to be ready to meet the King of Kings? Simeon was ready. The Apostle Paul was ready. And you and I can be ready as well. We have so many funerals, don't we? We've had a number of deaths announced tonight. And it's so easy to become hardened to these, just to accept them as things that happen and not realize that one day it will be our bodies in that coffin and a pastor will be speaking about us. So this is the most real thing in all the world, a hope in the light of death. Are we ready? Are we facing the big questions? To be in church can be the most dangerous of activities because we can close our minds to death. I remember talking recently to some Goths. I'd never met Goths in my life, and I had to ask them first whether they were Goths or punks. I couldn't tell the difference. And we got talking, and this is what spoke to me. These people, in their own way, were trying to face death. They were not right in their conclusions, but their eyes were opened to what was going to happen. And many people, maybe more respectable, more chapel-going, are completely shutting their minds to the possibility of death. Now, that's a very foolish thing, is it not? If death and taxes, as one person put it, are the only two certainties in life, well, let's forget about taxes tonight. If death is the one certainty, then surely the wisest thing to do is to be ready. You have these adverts on television that put emotional pressure on you, saying you need to prepare for your loved ones after you've gone. And of course, there's a place for that. We need to make sure that we take out insurance and things of that nature. We don't want to leave our loved ones in the lurch. But what these adverts fail to ask is, what about you? Are you ready for your death? And that's why we need to consider Simeon. Here's a man that's ready. Here's a man that's at peace. I want that, don't you? Think of the Atlantic Ocean. And big storm in the ocean, in the middle of the Atlantic. And people were crossing that ocean, not in a cruise liner, but in a sailing vessel. This was the 18th century. And it was a possibility that that ship was going to sink in that storm. And there were a group of people in that vessel, not very special people, very ordinary people. They were from Germany. They were Moravian missionaries. And they were at peace in the middle of that storm. They were singing hymns. There was a joy about their demeanor. And in the same ship, there was a religious man, an Anglican missionary, who had been to Georgia in North America to try and convert Indians and had failed miserably. And he was looking on at those Moravians, and he could see something they had that he didn't have. The name of the man that was all fretful was John Wesley. And he realized at that point that he wasn't ready to die. These people were. He wanted to know what was their secret. And so he spoke to their leader, Peter Bowler, and he explained to Wesley what I'm about to explain to you tonight. There is a hope. It is possible to face the last enemy and say, it's all right. Yes, I'm afraid of the process of dying. But it is possible to be able to say, it's all right. There is a sure and certain hope to be had. What is it? Let's look at his words first. These are important. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace. Do you know what that means? It's to loose a person from a chain. Or a slightly different illustration, but the same meaning, to release a prisoner from captivity. Now, we don't think of death in that way. We tend to reverse it. We think that death is the end. But to Simeon, death was release. Now, if a person has been suffering for a long time, maybe we think of it in that sense. But here was a man who looked at death as a blessed release. It was a missionary who wrote this poem. He was in China during the 30s and 40s. And one of his colleagues, an American missionary, he was accosted by armed Chinese bandits and forced at gunpoint to hand over his money. The bandits were astonished that this man was very calm and kindly, instead of showing anger or fear. And one of the bandits said, I don't believe you understand. We have the power to kill you, and we think we probably will kill you. And he said, this missionary, well, you can do that if you want, but it'll take me immediately into the presence of the Lord. That's all you can do. I'll be with him. And they did kill him. And when this other missionary heard about this, he wrote a poem. And it's entitled Afraid. Of what? Afraid of what? Now, my friends, this is the hope that Simeon had and that we can have in the gospel. To feel the Spirit's glad release, to pass from pain to perfect peace, the strife and strain of life to cease, afraid of that? Afraid of what? Afraid to see the Saviour's face, to hear his welcome, and to trace the glory gleam from wounds of grace? Afraid of that? Afraid of what? A flash? A crash? We've heard about a crash recently. A pierced heart? Afraid of darkness? Light? O heaven's art! A wound of his, a counterpart? Afraid of what? There is a hope to be had. Now, without Christ, death to us is something terrible. It's that event that will lead us into condemnation. Man is appointed once to die, and after that, the judgment. But in Christ, death can be an entrance into the kingdom. Not eternal hell, but eternal heaven. Now then, what's the secret? How can death be a release? What's the answer? Well, it's all found in one word that Simeon uses. He says in verse 30, let me read the whole of the two verses. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. There's the secret. It's not to be found in us. It's not to be found even in the church. It's to be found in a person, Jesus Christ. I've heard of a deathbed scene recently. And this person's comfort was just this. It's in Welsh, I'll translate. Iesu Grist yn unig. Do you know what that means? Jesus Christ only. There's the hope. Jesus Christ is the whole of salvation. There's the secrets. It doesn't matter who we are. There's a simplicity and a profundity at the same time here. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, incarnate. Jesus Christ, the substitute who came here in order to stand in our place. Jesus Christ, the cross bearer, bearing the punishments for our sins which we deserved. Jesus Christ, conquering death, being raised from the grave and alive forevermore. Iesu Grist yn unig, Jesus Christ alone. There's your hope. There's my hope. It's not in going on pilgrimage. It is not even in coming to church, even though you're in the right place. It is not in intense Bible study or prayer. It's in Jesus Christ. Now that's what we need to open up a bit this evening. He's a gift, a free gift. When you received your presents at Christmas time, didn't you look forward to opening the parcel? Well, I did, just to see what was inside. If you have a big parcel, you're wondering, what's going to be in this? And with anticipation, you open it. And I want us, very briefly this evening, to open this gift of salvation that is found in Jesus Christ. What do we find here? Oh, my friends, Simeon uses another word which is very important in this context. It's in verse 32, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Salvation in Christ is glorious. That's a missing ingredient in Reformed evangelicalism today. The glory is often departed. What is glory? Glory is weight. Not the weight of a guilty conscience, not the weight of man-made religiosity. Oh, this is the eternal weight of God's Shekinah glory. Listen to the Apostle Paul a little earlier than 2 Timothy. This is how he fared in all the problems of life. This is how he puts it. Oh, these verses have been of such comfort to those who are facing death. We do not lose heart, 2 Corinthians 4:16. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Jesus Christ, unseen, eternal. That's what will give us the hope. And his glory. I know the chorus says, when all my labors and trials are o'er, and I'm safe on that beautiful shore, just to be near the dear Lord I adore, will through the ages be glory for me. But glory can begin below. What's this gift then? What's so glorious about this salvation? Oh, my friends, there is full, free forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ the moment we trust in him. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. How can be thinking about sin be a blessing? My sin, not the part but the whole, is nailed to that cross so that I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. That's what makes sin blissful, to nail it on Calvary. There's a place in West Wales, a retreat that has got a big cross, and people go to that cross. I'm not commending this, but they nail things onto it. They're different burdens. Now, you don't have to go to West Wales to do that. You can do it now. You can take your sins and lay them on Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God. That glory. To know my sins are forgiven. To know I am right with God. To know that when I die, my soul will go to be with him. Not because of me, but because of his worthiness. The Lamb is worthy. Those Moravian missionaries, this was a little later than the ones in the 18th century. This was the 19th century. Young Moravian missionaries, they wanted to go to a leper colony. This leper colony was on an island. And once they went on that island, they were not able to return. They were going there to die, basically, in order to be witnesses to these lepers. And their parents had tried to dissuade them from going, to be a bit wiser, but they were adamant in going. And as the ship was leaving harbour, their parents and friends were standing on the shoreline, and these young men were standing in the ship, and within earshot of their loved ones, they shouted out, "May the Lamb that was slain receive all the glory." Glory! Jesus Christ as our substitute. Oh, my friends, that is something I can't get over, even as I've preached on it every Sunday evening for not just the last year, but the last years. There's a chorus which puts it in a very lovely way. Have you ever come across this? Upon a life I did not live, upon a death I did not die, another's life, another's death, I stake my whole eternity. That's what you do. So that's one reason why it's glorious. Then listen to something else, why this is glorious. Iesu Grist yn unig, Jesus Christ alone is our salvation. He's our substitute. Then another reason. Let me read some words I always read at the graveside. You know, can I say this without being misunderstood? This is what makes it worth being a minister of the gospel. These days, there are not that many perks, believe it or not, to be a pastor. It's not an easy job. But I want to say this. What other job in the world enables you to stand at the edge of the graveside of a loved one and to be able to say, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" Can an MP say that? Can the government deal with death? Of course they can. They can try dealing with waiting lists, but they can't deal with the last enemy. Can a scientist deal with death? Of course not. A scientist can make even better technological things, but they can't deal with the last enemy. Death has lost its sting. The Lord Jesus Christ was victorious on that cross. What happened? Another illustration. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. It's the difference between a wasp and a bumblebee. A bumblebee, when it stings you, leaves the needle in you, and so the bumblebee, after it stung one person, dies. And the sting of death is sin. It's our sin that causes that sting to be in death. It's because we've sinned that we've got to die. And what happened is this, that sting of sin was taken on Jesus Christ, and like the needle of a bumblebee, once our sin was lodged in him, it's got nothing more to do with us. Death now to the Christian is just like a bumblebee flying about because it's lost its sting. It may look frightful, but it's got no sting. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I remember being in a funeral here and being mightily blessed singing this. So when my latest breath shall rend the veil in twain, the soul separating from the body, by death I shall escape from death and life eternal gain. Now listen to this. That resurrection word, that shout of victory, once more forever with the Lord. Amen. So let it be. John Owen said it brilliantly, didn't he? The death of death in the death of Christ. That's glorious. So what was Simeon doing? He was saying, Iesu Grist yn unig. Well, he didn't say it in Welsh, but Jesus Christ is all my salvation. We haven't got time to look at other facets of this gift, but that's all we need to know, that Jesus Christ can give us that sure and certain hope. I am the resurrection and the life. I know, said Paul, in whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. But there's one more thing, isn't there? What was Simeon doing? He was holding the baby Jesus in his arms. And what did he say? Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Listen to good Bishop Ryle. What can deliver us from that fear of death to which so many are in bondage? What can take the sting of death away? There is but one answer to such questions. Nothing but faith can do it. Faith laying firm hold on an unseen Saviour. Faith resting on the promises of an unseen God. Faith and faith only can enable a man to look death in the face and say, I depart in peace. To use the illustration here, I'm using it as a picture. Just as Simeon held Jesus in his arms, we by faith take hold of Jesus Christ and appropriate him to ourselves. That's what conversion is. It's taking Jesus Christ. Have you done that? I wonder. It's much more than head knowledge. We must know about him. Otherwise, we don't have the data. But that's not enough. We must assent to the truth of what we know about him. And that's a good thing. But the devils believe in that sense, but they're not saved. We must trust him. To trust him with our immortal souls. I am not ashamed, for I know in whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to what? To keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. That's faith. To commit your salvation, your self, your all to Jesus Christ. It's nothing about the strength of our faith then, you see. It's nothing about our commitment, to use a word that's overused. It's about handing it over to him. Handing it over to him. We sometimes think of death as crossing a channel, don't we? And you know, there's only one way of crossing that Jordan. It's on the vessel of Jesus Christ. There's no other way. If we stay as we are, we will continue on this broad road that will lead to eternal destruction, we are still guilty before a holy God. Death is the sentence, not just physical death, separation of soul and body, but eternal death. God is righteous. And so the only way that we can escape that death is to go on to the boat that is Jesus Christ. He alone has dealt with death by being our substitute. He's taken the punishment for our sins that has pacified the wrath of a holy God. And this is the important thing, to be in the vessel. You can imagine a group of people in the vessel, and some of them will be feeling differently to others. Feelings don't save us. Some of them will be more active than others. Our zeal doesn't save us. But what saves us is being in Christ. How do I go into him? Well, I quite simply take him at his word and hand over myself to him. I know I've done this as a children's talk, but the highlight of boys' camp for me is the voyage to St. Bride's Bay to try and catch fish. There's not much success in that, but it's quite an adventure going into the middle, not of the Atlantic Ocean, but of St. Bride's Bay. That's enough for me, St. Bride's Bay. And what I have to do is trust the captain of that vessel. I don't know anything about piloting a boat. I certainly don't know anything about swimming. But I must trust implicitly in that captain. I must, yes, hand over myself to him. And that's what we do with Jesus Christ. Don't say, I'm going to be the pilot of my soul, the Lord of my destiny. Say, he is my Lord and Savior. I bow the knee to him. I say, not the labors of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. Thou must save and thou alone. Now what do? I hand it over to him. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress. Helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die. And then, my friends, when we join Simeon and the Apostle Paul and all the others that have had to stand before the river of death, we will say, it's all right. I know I've entrusted my soul to him. I'm not going to panic because he's gone ahead of me and he's taken the sting out of death. Well, my friends, we've only got a few days left of this year, and we don't know what will happen in 2014. It's been a shock to us to hear of some of the deaths that have occurred in the past year, suddenly some of them. I think it would be right to say that this time next year, some of you will be in eternity. And it's the wisest question to ask. Am I ready to meet my Maker? Am I ready to die? And what a gospel that enables me to have a sure and certain hope in the light of death, because it is all in Jesus Christ. Yes, he greased an innick. And you know what? If we learn how to die, then, my friends, we can start living properly. Give me a person who knows where they're going eternally, and they are the ones that I want to ask the reason for the hope that is in them. May God bless us all here. I am most grateful for the privilege of being able to minister to this flock. But may Jesus Christ only be the one that is our Saviour and that is our all. For his name's sake. Amen.